I'm Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Everybody, and welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Talking high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Brad Locke here with you along with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps on this podcast that used to also be a webcast, but we had some issues there with YouTube Live. So for the time being, it is a podcast only, coming to you every Wednesday afternoon, talking about all that's going on the high school scene. So how are you doing, fellas?
It's going well.
Doing good.
Yeah, we actually get to use three mics now instead of just two because of some weird technical thing with doing the YouTube Live. You couldn't use but two.
Yeah, you don't get to see Blake's flaming orange Tennessee shirt.
Yeah, it's kind of loud. Oh, man, we got a packed show again, as you would expect. By the way, you can follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Of course, we send out plenty of links with our stories that we cover. And high school scores as well on Football Friday nights and some basketball scores. Now, hey, basketball season is underway, fellas.
It's in full swing.
And we'll talk about some hoopage a little bit. But this is mostly going to be a football podcast because we're now into the playoffs for everybody, okay? We've got 1A, 5A, and 6A getting going this weekend. We'll get to that in a little bit. First, of course, we'll look back at last week and some of the big results. So we do this every week. So let's look at some big games from last weekend. Start with the 4A playoffs. Amory defeated New Albany 29-18. And Amory, you know, they've had a really good season, but, you know, they've had some games where it hasn't been easy, but they've made a habit of really pulling things out in the second half, haven't they?
Yeah, they certainly find a way, right? This game was close, especially at halftime. The week before, I can't remember who they played.
Corinth.
It was Corinth, and it was fairly close. And
won by a touchdown.
Yeah, and so they're just doing enough to pull it out. They beat Pontotoc by a touchdown earlier in the year. So it certainly seems like they, under first-year head coach Alan Glenn, that they just know how to reach deep enough and make the plays at the end to pull out the games.
Yeah, and that's it was 8-7 at halftime, so then they pulled away a little bit there in the fourth quarter. That one was still in doubt pretty late into the game. So Amory advances in the 4A playoffs into the second round. We'll talk about their next matchup here in a little bit. Also in the 4A playoffs, a game we thought might be close was not, Blake. Pontotoc shuts out Ripley 43-0 earlier in the regular season pretty handily.
Yeah.
So maybe we shouldn't be too surprised. But, I mean, Pontotoc just continues to impress.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, talking to the coaches before, they were saying how the game in the early in the year wasn't necessarily indicative on how this game will go, but Pontotoc came out, and you could tell within the first 5 minutes they wanted it, and once Ripley saw kind of how the game was going, it almost felt like they kind of closed it in after Pontotoc just came out on a mission. And, I mean, as near flawless of a game that I've seen played this year that I've been at.
Right.
They were clicking on all cylinders. The defense was great. They were out there. They were blocking kicks. They were just in all phases of the game. Right. Pontotoc was playing well. But one thing that might come back to bite them, they do get penalized a lot, and that's probably the only fatal flaw on this Pontotoc team.
Right. Well, it hasn't hurt them yet, but the deeper you get into the playoffs, the more
it hurt them in that Amory game. I was and it was drop passes and penalties that really kept them from winning that game, and it's something that could bite them down the road.
Yeah, the competition will keep getting tougher. We're talking about their playoff opponent this coming week in just a few minutes. Another game from last weekend, a regular season game in 6A, the regular season finale for Tupelo, and Gene, they went up to Olive Branch. They won as expected, 36-7, end up finishing 11-0 in the regular season for the first time in school history. Jaquarius Williams eclipsed the 1,000-yard mark. It was just a nice game overall, getting ready for the playoffs, wasn't it?
It was, and, you know, Jaquarius getting the 1,000 yards was big for him. He's just a sophomore. He's really humbled by what he's been able to do. Sure, he credits his offensive line. Really a nice kid. He's got unbelievable moves. He's got some good breakaway speed, too.
Yeah.
And he's been a really good addition in Tupelo's running back
yeah.
crew. They've got LeBryant Sedale, who would have handled probably been a 1,000-yard rusher himself, you know, and he's got close to 600 yards in the backfield. But just a really solid game. Tupelo defense, you know, Tupelo's defense has really been good this year. They've had some games where they give up chunks, as the Brian Jones, the defense coordinator, likes to say. But, you know, when it comes down to it, they seem to make the stops for the most part in the red zone. They posted two shutouts during division play. Will certainly be tested. I know we'll talk a little bit later this weekend, Friday night, when they play a Northwest Rankin at Tupelo. But big win for Tupelo, 11-0, only the second team in Tupelo history to be 11-0. The other was the 1945 Big 8 championship team.
Wow. You go back into the archives for that one, huh?
That's right. And so 12-0 would be a milestone for the program.
No doubt.
They've never had a team start 12-0.
Other notable results from last Friday. Starkville, the reigning 6A champ, not going to be in the playoffs. They got knocked out by losing to Clinton 35-28, so they were not able to be one of the four out of Division II 6A, which probably the toughest. We don't know how good they are in the South. You don't watch them as closely, but I imagine it's hard to be any tougher than 2-6A was this year.
It was. They had five really good teams and three really bad teams. But five really good ones. Put them all in a hat and shake them out, and you'd probably get five different teams popping out.
I don't think it'd be too far-reaching to say if Starkville had made the playoffs, you know, they could very well have won another state title. I mean, you've got some really quality teams in there, just didn't shake
especially
out.
Especially with Willie Gay on offense.
Willie Gay, those last two games, he had another insane game this past week.
Right,
he
just got beat out by another insane player in Cam Akers. Yeah. I talked with Northwest Rankin coach Toby Collins this week, and he played in that division. He said, well, you know, we beat Starkville, and they did 28-7. He said, but we were lucky to get them before they decided to move Willie Gay to quarterback.
Yeah.
But he said Cam Akers is the real deal. Yeah. I've never been able to see Cam play. I would love to.
May see him against Tupelo down the line here.
He could. And Toby Collins said he has never seen a player that good.
Wow.
Never. He said he intercepted a pass on him. He plays defensive back, too. Yeah. And he said, my quarterback makes all the throws. And he said he put it there, and this kid intercepted it, went 60 yards. And he said, I didn't know there was that kind of gear. And he said, I've never seen anybody run that fast.
Goodness. Well,
so
yeah,
he's the real deal from what everybody says.
So Starkville is out, and then going back to some playoff games in 4A, Lafayette defeating Shannon 44-0. A little surprising. Shannon's put up the points this year, but Lafayette, man, they're red hot. I guess that's, what, nine in a row they've won?
Right. I guess Shannon's defense, Blake Mike could help me on this, they've been kind of suspect
this season.
They have been.
It's been like they've given up a lot of points, and when they've won, they've outscored people.
Right. Yeah. And then in two-way, Walnut with a playoff win over West Tallahatchie, 14-12 the final. And, Blake, they had to overcome a tough situation with the quarterback.
Yeah.
Kevin Hurley,
yeah,
I believe is his name. He had an appendix deal. He had to go to the hospital.
Yeah, it was I've heard a little bit about it and whatnot, but it was basically like he was having appendix trouble all week and, like, was in the hospital, but got cleared by a doctor to play Friday night.
Okay.
And then played a little bit in the first quarter, and just the pain was too much, or maybe I don't know if he got hit in the side or something, but yeah, it was pretty much rushed to the hospital after that.
Yeah, well, Drew Pitney stepped in for Kevin Hurley at quarterback and got the job done, got just enough done, and of course you got Monterio Hunt on that offense, and he's going to make big plays for you, and he did in that game. So Walnut advances in the 2A playoffs there with the win over West Tallahatchie. All right, let's move on here and look ahead, guys. We got a bunch of big games this week. It's hard to – I had trouble just picking out three games to focus on, and we'll go through the whole schedule in a minute. But obviously we start with Tupelo, number one team in the state, number one team in the Daily Journal, large school rankings, opening 6A playoffs at home Friday against Northwest Rankin out of Division II. The number four seed, and again, that was a division. The seedings could have, I mean, going into the last game, there was so many different ways that could have fallen. I think like Warren Central or Clinton, one of the two could have ended up a four seed.
Correct. Had Starkville beaten Clinton, Starkville would have made it in the playoffs. Clinton would have fallen to a number four seed and been playing. Cam Akers would have been coming in here Friday night.
Yeah, so the draw could be worse for Tupelo. Yeah. It certainly could have been worse. But Northwest Rankin, I don't know what they bring to the table, Gene, other than the fact that they, they did pretty well in a tough division.
Well, they've got a good coach, and we got to give him a tub thumping a little bit. Toby Collins, a Smithville native, right. An excellent running back at Smithville. Coached 4 years at Etowah AHS, yep. Did a really good job there, enough to impress people to bring him down to Northwest Rankin to compete in that region down there, division. And these guys are coming in. They're the best offense Tupelo will face all season. They have a quarterback, Braden Smith, who's thrown for 1,973 yards and 21 touchdowns. He's also rushed for 600 yards and 8 touchdowns.
Wow.
And Toby Collins said, this guy makes every throw. I mean, he's that good of a passer.
That's the kid you were talking about a few minutes ago who Akers picked off.
Akers picked off. They've got a 1,300-yard running back. They've got five receivers, and I know I'm putting my hand up five, and we're not.
Nobody can see the fingers, Gene.
We're not on the TV, five receivers with 20-plus catches. That tells you they spread the ball around. Collins said, hey, one or two of them's hot every time we play.
I'll tell you what, so, Tupelo's defense, it's shut down some really good offenses. I'm real curious and interested to see how well they do against this kind of
attack. And this is nothing to Tupelo. I mean, you're 11-0. You got a chance to be 12-0. You've had this wonderful year. You've had a great defense. If there was a little bit of a glitch, it might be in the secondary where they have a new person playing at cornerback, and Shannon. I don't know. They're going to really be tested. I think both teams will have looked at plenty of film. It'll be the biggest test by far for Tupelo's defense.
Yeah.
And these guys score points, too. And they barely lost. They lost by an average of 9 points to Warren Central, Madison Central, and Clinton. And two of the games were like 7-point games, and one was like an 11-point game.
Yeah. So, I imagine what you'll see Tupelo try to do, as they've done often, is control the game with the running game with Jaquarius Williams. What's the quarterback situation? You're going to see Stephon McGlon out
there? Stephon McGlon will be playing at quarterback. And, Tupelo gets a weapon back this week. Dante Freeman's missed the last 2 weeks with a shoulder injury. Also, and in the game where he hurt his shoulder, he was actually playing with a fractured rib. But anyway, he sat out 2 weeks to get that shoulder healthy, and he told me yesterday, I will be playing Friday night. And they got to have him. He does a lot of things.
Yeah, so you might see Williams. You're going to see McGlon run the ball. You mentioned you got Freeman back. So they have pretty much a full arsenal there of weapons. Should be a fun game to cover for you, Gene. In 4A, we mentioned Amory earlier, defeating New Albany in a close one. They take on Cleveland in this next round. Cleveland, a 6-5 team. Is this game at Cleveland or at Amory?
It is at Amory.
Okay. I wasn't sure. That's what I thought, but...
Amory was the number one seed.
Yeah, that's right. So I know the playoff setup they have. I know at some point, Gene, I guess it's still this way. If you've had so many home games, no matter your seeding, you go on the road at some point, don't you?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it's. I only worry about it when it's the next week, and I say, "Tell me what the deal is." I don't look ahead and plan. I just let them tell me. But there's a madness and a formula. I know when Tupelo was in the playoffs a couple of years ago and went to the finals, they hosted South Panola.
Yeah.
And it was one of those deals, and South Panola was screaming and hollering, going, "Wait a minute, we won the division." And blah blah blah. And Tupelo still hosted.
So Amory will host Cleveland. I don't know how much we know about Cleveland, Blake.
Yeah, now I've just looked at the stats so far.
Sure.
And honestly, they're not too, overly impressive for Cleveland. They've used a few different quarterbacks, but Sam Coleman-Dancer's been the main guy for Cleveland. He's only thrown for 223 yards and 4 touchdowns. He's definitely more of a rushing threat, 422 yards, 10 touchdowns on the ground. running back Kevion Wade has rushed for 680 yards and 7 touchdowns. So
okay, well, Cleveland come out of a Division 3-4A. Didn't look like on paper it was a very tough division. They were a 2 seed with a 3-1 mark and in the division play, and the 3 teams below them had a combined 4 wins, a 5-team division there. So you would think that's a game Amory would win, but you know Amory.
Yeah, you would have to say Amory's a favorite going into that game.
Certainly, certainly. Another game to look at. Pontotoc going to take on Greenwood. I believe that would be in the Hollow, won't it, at Pontotoc?
It's at Greenwood.
Is it at Greenwood?
It's at the Hollow in Greenwood.
Okay, well, see, now they're confusing me with this the setup they got. So, okay, so that one's at Greenwood. Yeah, so Pontotoc goes on the road, Blake. And
Goes on the road.
They've, but again, you know, like you said, except for maybe some issues with penalties and whatnot, not many weaknesses on this team.
Not many weaknesses. It'll be interesting to see how they do this week. Greenwood's got a pretty good running back, Rico Owens II. He's rushed for 1,809 yards and 17 touchdowns. He's a threat. But Pontotoc's defense has been pretty sound all year long. They don't really give up big plays, and on offense, any play can go for 50 yards. They scored in the Ripley game. I think they scored. It was 3 or 4 touchdowns of 30 yards or more.
Right.
So.
Well, you know, if you got a good defense and a good quarterback at this point in the season, that can take you a long way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Certainly. So that's
game I'm going to, Eastside at Kossuth.
Yes.
2 11-1 teams.
Wow.
This one will, I'm imagining it will be pretty old school football. Eastside has 2 1,000-yard rushers, so they're going to try to dominate the game and control the clock. And Kossuth obviously has Jaylee Adams.
Right.
And I just got off the phone with Brian Kelly at Kossuth, and he said that's the goal, is to control the clock, control the line of scrimmage, and to methodically move the ball down the field to keep our defense protected and not get worn down.
I like that kind of game, too. I don't mind a nice little nice game of smash mouth.
Looks
football.
Like it'll be a slugfest.
Certainly. We want to go ahead and run through some of the other playoff matchups involving area teams this Friday. 5A North, West Point taking on Holmes Central. This is a first round game. Oxford will take on Grenada. That's also in 5A. In 4A, we mentioned Lafayette earlier, dismantling Shannon last week. Now they get to take on Louisville. We mentioned Pontotoc and Greenwood, of course, Amory and Cleveland. In 3A, we just mentioned Kossuth against Eastside. We got North Pontotoc taking on Independence there in 3A. Then in 2A, Baldwin against South Delta. We wrote about Baldwin in today's paper, in fact, didn't we?
Yeah.
That offense is on fire.
Yeah, killing it. And they really taking advantage of a division that they're just frankly better than.
Yeah.
And they've scored. They haven't scored, I said in the article, I can't remember off the top of my head, they haven't scored less than 50 points since September. They're averaging 61 points in division play and in the playoffs. So,
that's insane.
But with those kind of teams and games, I always get worried is what happens when the offense isn't clicking.
Right?
Like, how will the team respond? And that's something Michael Gray will have to.
It seems like South Delta usually fields a very competitive team year in, year out. Also in 2A, you've got East Webster against Strayhorn. You've got Walnut against West Bolivar. You've got Calhoun City against J.Z. George. And in 1A, the 1A playoffs starting this Friday, Smithville will host Broad Street. You've got Vardaman visiting Ray Brooks. And you've got Faulkner at Simmons. So you've got all those teams, local teams, out of Division 1, 1A. Again, 1A, 5A, and 6A, it's the first round of playoffs this weekend, and then everybody else, 2A, 3A, and 4A, they're in the second round. Okay. All right, let's talk a little bit of hoopage just real quick, fellas. Yeah. The season has begun, and we're doing our best to get out and cover a few games here and there. We were out last night at a couple of games, weren't we?
Yeah, we were at the Hound Dog Classic in Tupelo, and I covered Ripley. You know, Ripley's boys last season kind of surprised a lot of folks, finished 23-7.
Yeah.
And came within about 30 seconds of going to Jackson.
Yeah.
And got 6 of their 8 key players back, including the guard that, and maybe the best player in the state that no one talks about, the coach Adam Kirk said, Dwayne Cox last night against a bigger and I mean really bigger lineup, 6'5", 6'4", 6'5", 6'7", and 7 foot.
Yeah, they grow big. They tend to grow big in New Hope.
For New Hope. Cox scored 31 points, had 9 boards and 7 assists, and usually he averages in double-digit assists.
Yeah.
And Kirk said he probably did last night. Their person, their little score person, I just missed it. He is a really phenomenal player. He can penetrate from anywhere on the court, baseline, from the wing. He can shoot. That was a case of, how do you beat a taller team? You out-quick them. You out-hustle them. And that's exactly what Ripley did last night. I saw Ingemar play last week, boys and girls. Girls look good. You know, they're defending champions in 2A.
Yep.
The usual suspects had good games. Garibas Self playing with a thumb injury, though, still scored in double figures. Got in a little foul trouble. She's going to be a really good player. You know, so Mallory Russell, post player inside, had a solid game. You know, Ingemar's boys are very competitive, very competitive, and they played Hickory Flat and beat them, Jonathan Ashley's team. They'll be a factor early on. Other than that, I just see what I see in the paper. I'm going to go to a game tomorrow, Pontotoc and Ingemar play. Be a good girls and a good boys game.
It should be, certainly. All right, and there was another game that you covered last night, Blake. We might as well just tie that into Athletes of the Week, though.
Yeah.
So let's do Athletes of the Week. Female Athlete of the Week. I'm trying real hard not to.
Alaysia.
You say
Alaysia Scherer.
Alaysia Scherer. There we go. Tupelo guard. Athlete of the Week, and led the Lady Wave to a win last night against DeSoto Central. And today she signs with East Tennessee State. So, hey, a big couple of days all around for her. Gets the win, signs for a scholarship, and, hey, Prep Rally Athlete of the Week.
And the number she had, 37
points. 37 points, 15 rebounds, 2 steals, a block.
Last night.
And she can play on the perimeter.
Yeah.
She can play guard. She can handle the ball. She could post up.
It was her going down low last night with, the game was very much in question, and they just gave it to her and let her go to work, and she drew a foul almost every single time.
And she's going to be going to East Tennessee State University.
Yeah.
A bit of a, I wouldn't say an odd choice. I mean, you see kids from here go off to places in Tennessee and whatnot, but it's still a, it's a fur piece, as
Johnson
they say.
City. I said it's a 7.5-hour drive.
Yeah. So
it's a nice campus, though. I've been up and around there.
Yeah. So congrats to Alaysia Scherer.
Look at you.
Look at me go.
You did a good job.
Female Athlete of the Week. Male Athlete of the Week. Who we got, Blake?
Calvin Harris of Baldwin. They defeated Coahoma County. They scored 59. Coahoma did not get close to 59.
It was like 58-6 or something.
Yeah. Maybe he was 16.
I don't remember.
Something like that. But he had 183 yards receiving and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, 58-16. It's right here. There we go. 58-16 win, Baldwin over Coahoma County last week. So Calvin Harris, your male athlete of the week. So congrats to both Alaysia and Calvin for being honored. We do that every week, by the way. We honor a male and female athlete for their exploits on the field. And that's it for Prep Rally today, my friends. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Again, it's a podcast. Currently not a webcast, but that's okay. You can listen to it in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. It's free. You can follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Gene's on there at Gene Phelps. Blake at Blake Morgan DJ. So that's it. More football coming up this Friday. We'll have full coverage for you in the Daily Journal and djournal.com.
Let me say one thing, how close we are. After this week, we play in the state quarterfinals in football.
Wow.
It's going to be state quarters next week for all classes.
That's right. It's
so
crazy.
That close to championship time.
That's right. Well, we'll have all the coverage for you here, and I appreciate y'all tuning in to Prep Rally. We will see y'all next Wednesday. Have a good one.